Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Morning, guys. Andrew Cuomo. I'm joined by Melissa DeRosa, Howard Zucker, Robert Mojica, Kelly Cummings, Beth Garvey, Gareth Rhodes. We have a number of things to go through in terms of news. Number one, I was at Medgar Evers College this morning in Brooklyn, and we're doing something very exciting there. The state is being very aggressive in social equity vaccination. I've spoken for many months about how COVID hit the Black, Hispanic, and poorer communities harder than any other communities. There was less COVID testing. There was higher positivity, and there was higher death rates. On the vaccine, we're seeing nationwide, and we're seeing in New York, hesitancy, quote unquote, especially with the Black community. Hesitancy, I call a lack of trust in the system, for good reasons. So we're working very hard to combat that, making special efforts above and beyond the overall vaccination process. We partnered with the federal government on an initiative that is going to do social equity vaccinations, what they call vulnerable communities. Brooklyn, Medgar Evers, we're going to do Queens, and then we're going to do Westchester, Buffalo, Rochester, and Albany. The way it works in Brooklyn, which we announced today, the site opens Wednesday of this week, but the surrounding zip codes that are most heavily impacted have a priority for appointments. It opened last Saturday at 8 a.m. It goes till this Saturday at 8 a.m. And they have a priority to make appointments. That's exciting. It's joint federal state, so you have federal officials who are working there. You have state National Guard. It will be the largest vaccination site in the state, doing 21,000 per week, 3,000 per day, 7 days per week. And that opens Wednesday. And then we'll be talking about a site in Queens, and then we'll be talking about sites upstate that we're still working on. Today is day 359. We did 142,000 tests. The positivity, this is a Monday, so take it with a grain of salt, 4.3. 89 New Yorkers passed away. They are in our thoughts and prayers. 5,800 hospitalized, 1,100 in ICU, 700 intubated. On the seven-day positivity, New York City, 4.4. Long Island, 4.3, Mid-Hudson, 4.2, North Country, 3.7, Western New York, 2.4, Finger Lakes, 2.3, Mohawk Valley, 2.03, Capital Region, 1.9, Central New York, 1.2, Southern Tier, 0.79, statewide positivity, 3.5. What these numbers should say to you is that behavior makes a difference. Look at how that positivity rate has changed. And look how many times it's changed. And look how the regions have fluctuated, right? Western New York was at the top of the list for a period of time. Long Island was then at the top of the list. Mid-Hudson was at the top of the list. Southern Tier, we had a real problem at one point. Behavior matters. A community's behavior matters. And once they get that, you can see how they can reduce the positivity rate. But it's up to their behavior. Within New York City, Bronx, 5.7, Queens, 4.9, Brooklyn, 4.3, Staten Island, 4.3, Manhattan, 2.7. So Bronx is still high. And it has been for a while. It is down, but it is still high. And then Queens, Brooklyn, Staten Island, all about the same place. Manhattan, again, 2.7 is much lower. Behavior matters. Weekend data is often a little skewed, so watch the one-day data. Vaccines, 3.75 million administered, 2.4 million first doses, 1.3 million second doses. 93% of the doses received from week 1 to 10 have been actually put in arms. We had serious weather delays, not just in New York, but across the country. And the good news is those places that had deliveries delayed, it should be starting to hit today and this week. We're announcing a number of reopenings. Watching the valve and the infection rate and the meters. Movie theaters in New York will be brought in line with the rest of the state. 25% capacity, no more than 50 people per screening, masks, assigned seating, social distancing, staff to control occupancy, traffic, and seating to ensure compliance. They need the enhanced air filtration, ventilation, and purification standards that DOH has specified. We then have weddings and catered events, 50% capacity, up to 150 people at each event. Anyone who wants to get married, no excuses. As we previously announced, all patrons must be tested prior to the event. As I've said, testing is the key. I can go in and shake hands, well, not shake hands, but sit with the President of the United States if I'm tested. Sign in with contact information to assist with contact tracing. Venues must notify the local health department in advance, mask required at all times, except when seating, eating, or drinking. Guidelines for ceremonial and social distance dancing. Rob has more information on that if you need it, beginning March 15th. School reporting. President Biden has made it a national priority to open schools. We're going to ask the local districts to report on how many teachers have been vaccinated. As you know, local districts have been vaccinating essential personnel, police, fire, teachers. How many teachers have been vaccinated? And how many teachers are doing in-class teaching? So we're asking the counties, the local government, cities, how many teachers have you vaccinated? How many teachers are doing in-class teaching? And what percent of the week is now in class? Teachers are very concerned that before they return to the classroom, they're vaccinated. I understand that. So the question is, how many have been vaccinated and how many are in class and teaching? And we'd ask we're going to notify the local districts today if they can start reporting on Wednesday, and then we'll ask them that on a weekly basis. But I think we need clarity on that matter, because opening schools is very important. Opening schools is very important for children, as we know, and it has economic consequences beyond that. Nursing home visitation, Dr. Zucker and Beth Garvey are on the phone, and they're going to give you details now on the nursing home reopening plan for visitation. Dr. Zucker?
Sure. Thank you, Governor. So regarding the indoor visitation for the nursing homes, there are four points that I'd like to make about this. The first one is that we focus on the county rate of COVID transmission, and so we've broken this down into those who are less than 5% in the county, and no testing would be required, but we encourage testing for those who are less than 5%, a county with less than 5%. If the county has 5 to 10%, then there should be testing within 72 hours. The testing can either be through a PCR test or a Binex test, rapid testing, the Binex rapid testing, and we will help with the nursing homes to provide the Binex testing, as we have been doing. If it's greater than 10%, then no visitation is allowed except for compassionate care. The other reason that you would have to restrict visitation is if there have been cases within 14 days, and this is the CMS guidelines on this. So for point number one, less than 5%, no testing required, but we encourage it, 5 to 10%, testing within 72 hours, PCR, Binex test, and greater than 10%, no visitation except for compassionate care. The second point is the issue of vaccination. This is a little trickier. Within the 5 to 10% category, instead of testing, if a visitor, and I want to make this point clear, it's about visitors, right? Because we have vaccinated all the nursing homes and vast majority of the residents. But if a visitor has had two vaccines and it's been 14 days since their second vaccine and they're still within 90 days of that second dose for the vaccine, then there's probably no need for a test. However, we encourage it to test anyway at the site. And the reason I say that is because you can still have it in your nasal passage, and so it's beneficial to be tested to be sure that you don't have it in your nasal passage. I reiterate always the need to take all those necessary public health precautions, wearing a mask, washing your hands, et cetera. Point three is that the nursing home facilities, if the maximum number of visitors you can have is to accommodate for 20% of the residents, if the facility obviously can handle that. The maximum is 20% of residents at one time. Obviously, the next day you have other visitors for other residents, but we're trying to make sure we don't overwhelm the nursing homes with that. And the fourth point is we're working with the nursing homes to make sure that they either have a separate room or the visitor is alone in their room at that point in time. And I think those are the four key points to make about visitation at nursing homes at this point.
Beth, do you have anything to add on that?
No, I think Dr. Zucker laid it out very clearly.
Okay. You want to tell us when it goes into effect?
This will go into effect Friday, February 26th.
Okay. So it follows the CMS guidelines, goes into effect on Friday, and Department of Health has additional recommendations for additional precautions. Okay. On billiards and pool halls, which I know many of the people on the phone frequent, we were sued by billiards and pool halls, and we actually lost the suit. So we're coming up with guidelines for all billiard and pool halls. 50% capacity, masks required at all times, except when seated and eating or drinking. Mandatory social distancing, physical barriers between parties, each party assigned to a table to avoid commingling, cleaning and disinfecting any rented or shared equipment between use. If you sink the eight ball when you are shooting for the eight ball and playing eight ball, you automatically lose the game unless it is the called shot and the called pocket. I made up that last rule. Joke. Two other points that I want to make. One is we have a decision in the ongoing trial with the Seneca Nation. Seneca Nation, for those of you who don't remember, in 2013, New York reached a landmark agreement with the Seneca Nation recognizing the exclusivity of the Seneca casinos in Western New York. The agreement was based on trust and respect, and it was one that I was proud to make. This morning, the U.S. Second Circuit Court of Appeals again affirmed the need for the Seneca Nation to fulfill their obligations and pay what they owe in exchange for those gaming rights. The court's decision was clear, and after years of delay, multiple appeals, and multiple court losses, it is high time the Seneca Nation follows the law and pays what they owe. And it is significant funding, especially for the communities involved, as well as the state. Rob, do you want to just remind us of what the financial consequences of that are?
It's about $435 million that is owed to date, and almost over $100 million of that is for local governments, the biggest counties being Buffalo, Niagara Falls, Salamanca, Monroe, and Erie County. But there are over a dozen local governments, counties, governments, and cities that get direct payments. So it's $435 million overall with $115 million directly to local governments, and the rest of that money goes to mostly education.
Okay. Last point, revenue update numbers. The economy is rebounding. The revenue is up about another $1.6 billion on an annualized basis from where we had projected. I had said to the U.S. Congress that we need $15 billion to deal with the COVID deficit and the COVID consequences and the COVID costs. That's the deficit plus the cost of COVID. The cost of COVID is the rental relief that we have to provide to tenants, the rental relief we have to provide to the small landlords, the business relief that we have to provide to small businesses. The loss of revenue for local governments. The federal package does not provide the $15 billion. It's about 12 and change. What I say to my congressional colleagues is, if you are progressive in the minority, you shouldn't become regressive in the majority. This nation should have a tax increase on the wealthiest Americans to provide the relief necessary to states. Otherwise, what you do is you force individual states to raise taxes. When an individual state raises taxes, it now puts that state at a competitive disadvantage with other states. And the states that were hardest hit by COVID, primarily Democratic states, are then put at a further economic disadvantage. COVID was a national problem. The national economy has to recover. do a national tax increase, which is what the progressive Democrats talked about for years. Now you're in the majority. Do it. Do it. So states like New York don't have to do it. And redo the inequity of the Trump tax plan, which was clearly regressive and a gift to the wealthiest Americans and the wealthiest corporations. Every Democrat railed against it when it happened. Undo the Trump tax gift to the richest, which also stole from the Democratic states with SALT. That has to happen on a national level. And that is progressive. And we have a Democratic president and a Democratic Senate and a Democratic House, and that's what everyone articulated as the progressive policy. So now that you're in the majority, don't become regressive. Get a state like New York the funding it needs. Return our SALT funding so we don't have a financial hardship and we can make ends meet. Also remember, during Trump, no state paid a higher price than the state of New York. New York State was victimized during the Trump administration. New York pays in more to the federal government, gets back less than any state, and then the SALT tax change compounded that inequity, and every Democrat condemned it. You have reconciliation, reverse it. Reverse it. Bring a progressive tax code to this nation. Okay, let me stop there, and let's take a couple of questions. Operator, can you see if anyone has questions?
Yes, Governor. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. Again, that's star 1 to ask a question. Please wait a moment while we compile the Q&A roster. Okay, we have our first question, Bart Jones from Newsday.
Hi, Governor.
Hey, Bart.
How are you? Can you talk a little bit about the situation at Jones Beach? Apparently, we had some ineffective shots there. Can you talk a little bit about how that happened and if you know the number of people affected and what is the state basically doing to try to fix and prevent that? And secondly, did you mention a date on the movie theater starting? And there's no testing involved in that, I take it. I know you mentioned you have the pop-up rapid test sites in the city. Just wanted to clarify, no testing required for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Bart. I don't know the answer to either of Bart's questions. Does anybody know about Jones Beach?
Sure.
What was the date of the movie theaters?
Governor's Robert, on the movie theaters, we're aiming for March 5th on the movie theaters, and there is no testing requirement on the movie theaters. It's consistent with the movie theater guidance that has been in place since October 19th. So for the past 4 months, the guidance has been in place outside of New York City, with the exception of a few other counties. So it's that exact same guidance going forward, beginning on March 5th, would be statewide.
And Governor, I can answer the question about Jones Beach.
Yeah, please, Dr. Zucker.
Sure. So it was less than a quarter of 1% of the people were vaccinated on that day. You know, this vaccine is very sensitive to temperature ranges. We knew exactly who it was. We have contacted them. They will get revaccinated. This is the whole benefit of having a great checks and balances system in place. So we were able to identify this and appropriately intervene.
0.25% on one day?
Yes, less than 0.25% of the people vaccinated on that one day.
Governor, it was a total of 81 people. I believe there were nearly 1,400 vaccinated that day.
So 81 of 1,400 had a vaccine that was ineffective at Jones Beach. And we've called back those 81 to be revaccinated.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Bart. Operator, next question, please.
Okay. Next question goes to Tara Rosenblum from News 12. One moment.
Tara, how are you?
For you. The first is, yes.
How are you, Tara?
Can you hear me okay? Okay,
yes,
good.
Yes,
thanks, Governor. Two quick questions for you. We are hearing over and over again, our turn to Tara team, that not all providers are asking for the medical paperwork that you've outlined when the immunocompromised patients are showing up for their appointments. So we're wondering what's your message to those providers who are not checking the paperwork. And the second is, we've done a lot of work with you on our hate at home coverage. We are wondering how concerned you are by the rise in hate incidents involving the Asian community in New York.
Well, we've spoken, Tara, about the rise in racially insensitive attacks against the Asian community. It's not only immoral, it's not only wrong, it's not only ignorant, by the way, it's also illegal. It is illegal. Discrimination is illegal in the state of New York. You know, we often talk about the morality of it. And how it violates our principles. That's true. We're a state of immigrants. We're all from somewhere else. That's why we added to the state seal this year, e pluribus unum, out of many, one. We added that to the state seal because of the divisiveness that has been going on in this country. But it's also illegal, and you will be prosecuted. And we're very aggressive about prosecuting the discrimination laws. On the paperwork, who knows the regulations on the paperwork? Gareth, Beth, local governments, the paperwork requirement.
Yes. So we had left the discretion to the local governments to determine the level of documentation that could be required, which at a minimum was an attestation from the patient. So provided that a county is not required any additional information, a simple attestation from the patient themselves would suffice. We are, you know, going through and monitoring to make sure that they are following whatever the required paperwork is at that local health discretion.
Tara, you can bring evidence, prescriptions, doctor note, et cetera, up to the local county to decide. The county sets the rules for the providers. Or, at a minimum, you have to have the person attest. But the attestation is a legal document. So you are legally liable if you falsely certify to government that you have an underlying condition and you don't. I understand people want the vaccine, but I don't believe, I think it would be foolish to put yourself in legal jeopardy by filing a false instrument with the local government just to get a vaccine. But the local governments can require additional evidence in their discretion. Thank you, Tara. Operator, next question.
Okay. Next question goes to Kevin Tempone from CyberCost, Bill Standard.
Hi, Governor. Two questions, if I could. One was, could you talk a bit more about what you're hoping to glean from this new data that you're asking for from schools? What decision or policy is that going to inform? And then two, I'm wondering, given your announcement earlier this month on outdoor amusement parks, what that might mean for the state fair this year. Obviously, two different animals, but some similarities. So does the fact that you're opening outdoor amusement parks say anything about how you're feeling on prospects for the fair this year?
On the fair, does anyone know on the phone, do the amusement park rules apply to the fair, or is the fair going to be under separate guidelines?
Governor, the fairs would be under separate guidelines. We had last year separately canceled county fairs as well as the state fair.
Well, that is something we have to consider, and we have to decide, Kevin. We have invested a lot of money in the fair. I personally love the fair. I love what we've done with the fair. The state, the people of the state have done record attendance every year for years. It's a tremendous hit. So if there's any way we can open it safely, we will. And we have a little time, but if there's any way we can, we will. Kevin, what was the first question again?
It was on the school data.
School data.
What you're hoping to kind of get out of that.
Look, the President Biden has said it. Everyone has said it. President Trump said it before President Biden. It's not a partisan issue. We want to open schools. There is damage being done to children with remote learning. First of all, I believe, we don't have all the data in, you're going to find discrimination in education because of remote learning. You're going to find disparities. You're going to find families that didn't have access to broadband, families that didn't have the right technology, families that didn't have people who could help their children with the technology, they will have been at a disadvantage. You're going to find mental stress on children who have been home. You're going to see a lack of socialization advancement because children have been home. You'll see emotional issues because children have been home. And then you'll see a drag on the economy because when the children are home, obviously it places an added burden on the parents. So President Biden, President Trump, open the schools as soon as possible. The teachers make a valid point. The teachers are concerned about their health. They're going to go into a school with a number of children in the classroom. We said, I understand, let's vaccinate teachers. And if teachers are vaccinated, that should remove the main obstacle to in-classroom teaching. What we want to know is, let's take a status report. How many teachers in your county have been vaccinated? And how many teachers are doing in-class teaching? Theoretically, there should be a correlation, Kevin. If there isn't a correlation, then there are questions. And you can have a lack of correlation both ways. You can have more teachers in the classroom who are unvaccinated, or you can have more teachers who are vaccinated than are actually teaching. But let's get the facts on this situation. And that's what we're asking for. Just give us the facts. How many teachers have been vaccinated? How many teachers are doing in-classroom teaching? So we can have an informed discussion about it. Everyone will say, as soon as we can, we should get back to in-class teaching. Most people will say they're sympathetic with the teacher's point that they want to be vaccinated. All right, so let's find out where we are and get some facts so we can determine a policy going forward. Operator, let's take one more.
Thank you. Next question goes to Jose Velasquez from the city.
Hey, Governor, hope you can hear me okay. In light of the recent investigation from the U.S. Attorney's Office in Brooklyn and the FBI, I'm wondering, could you tell us whether or not you or members of your offices have received subpoenas? And if so, what information they have been requesting? And on another topic, since we're opening up movie theaters, where does that put movie theater workers who are going to have to interact with the public on the vaccine priority list? Thank you.
We have had requests from the Department of Justice since last year when President Trump accused Democratic states of the COVID problem. Let's be accurate. President Trump first denied the COVID problem, right? He did that in news articles, books had been written that he denied the COVID problem. His second strategy was, okay, there's a COVID problem, but it's caused by Democratic states. I then actually gave a speech at the Democratic Convention and attacked him for his COVID policy. He then publicly attacked me and called for an investigation of New York. Department of Justice then sent four states, Democratic states only, requests for information. That was back in August. So it's been ongoing since August. Remember, New York is number 34 in terms of nursing home deaths. And the March 25th memo that Mr. Trump liked to point to, that followed CMS and CDC guidance, which he left out. So the inquiry has been going on since last August. We have complied with the inquiry, and we will continue to. The movie theater employees and testing, do we have any special provision for them in the state? Does anyone know? Do they qualify 1A, 1B?
Governor, go ahead. I was just going to say, at this time, they would not qualify under the 1B essential workers. As we opened up to comorbidities right now, there are still about 10 million New Yorkers that are eligible, and our supply continues to be rather limited compared to that population size. We are looking forward prospectively at new vaccines that are filing for emergency use authorization, and that those new vaccines coming online should hopefully allow us to expand eligibility because it will increase the overall supply.
Yeah. Also remember, not every business that is open has a preference for those employees, right? Most businesses that are open, with that you can go and buy a shop, retail, et cetera, those workers don't get preferential treatment. It's only a select few businesses where there's more intimate contact, restaurants, et cetera, where we've made special provisions. But we just simply don't have enough supply. Remember, the basic problem here is the supply from the federal government. The federal government set the eligibility. The federal government under Trump said nursing homes, essential workers, 65 plus, don't worry, we're increasing supply. Yeah, don't worry. One of the great lies. The supply was never increased under Trump. So now we have 10 million people eligible, 300,000 vaccines per week. President Biden came in, the cupboard was bare. President Biden has been working very hard to increase the supply. They've increased the supply to the state every week that they've been in office. And they've now secured enough vaccine to vaccinate all Americans by the end of July, but that's still the end of July. March, April, May, June, there's still going to be a few months of struggle and anxiety where we have many more people eligible than we are receiving vaccines. So we're going to have to grin and bear it. There's nothing the state can do. I can't buy vaccines. I actually tried. But under the emergency authorization use, Pfizer can't sell to a state. Moderna can't sell to a state. So we're dependent on federal supply, and the Biden administration is doing its best to increase it, and we're doing our best to vaccinate it and prioritize it. Okay, team, gang, thank you very much. Thank you for joining us. Have a good day. Bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.